The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, beginning in chapter 1, verse 6. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him then, "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." And this all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And this is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to speak to you from the Gospel reading for today. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, as you sent John as a witness to you as the light, so Lord, shine your light into our hearts today, so that we too may be bearers of your light in this world. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, today is the third Sunday of Advent, the season of the church year that leads up to Christmas. And once again, we read today, as we did last Sunday in the Gospel reading from Mark, about John the Baptist. John is a very important character each year in the Advent readings from the Gospels. John is a unique character in the Gospel stories, and as such stands as a beacon in the midst of the Advent season. There's much that we can learn from John. And today I want us to learn from John again, as we take as the theme of the message, learning from John how to witness to the light. Now, what images come to your mind when you think of this character, John the Baptist? The baby who leapt in his mother's womb when Mary entered the room with Jesus in her womb. A man with an unkempt beard and hair, with locusts and wild honey stuck in his beard from his last meal. A man dressed like an Old Testament prophet standing in the middle of the Jordan River baptizing people. A wild-looking fiery preacher standing before the crowd of people who made them look and feel rather uncomfortable as he exposed their sins. Now, all of these images are quite accurate. They arise from the Gospel reading you heard from Mark last Sunday, and also the other two synoptic Gospels, Matthew and Luke. Now, Matthew, Mark and Luke, what we call synoptic Gospels. Synoptic means with one eye. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote their Gospels as primarily a biographical narrative of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. In their writings, what they are saying is, this is what we saw, and this is what we want you to know about Jesus. But today in our Gospel reading is from John. And John's Gospel is quite different from the other three. John's Gospel is written for a purpose, and he tells us this at the end of his Gospel in chapter 20, verse 31. That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John writes his Gospel in order to bring about a faith response from those who read it. So when we come to John's Gospel, we have a very different kind of Gospel from the other three. It does not begin with a genealogy or the story of the birth of Christ or the beginning of his ministry. It begins with that most famous piece of writing in John 1:1-18 that's called a Christ hymn, of which there are a number in the New Testament. And in the middle of this very different beginning to the Gospel of John, we have a very different story about John the Baptist. Our text begins, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light." Did you notice here that the Apostle John does not call John the Baptist John the Baptist? Because you see here, John is not baptizing. Baptism is not even mentioned, except to give an indication as to where this encounter took place between the religious leaders and John. In the Apostle John's Gospel concerning John, there's no mention of camel hair or a leather belt. No mention of the food of locusts or wild honey. No mention of people repenting and submitting to his baptism. No mention of his preaching of righteousness to bring repentance. Here we just have John. But John was no ordinary man. He was a man sent by God. He was on a divine mission. His mission was to tell, to bear witness to the light, so that through him all men might believe. You see, already there are echoes here of the purpose of John's Gospel, that you might believe. John is not the light who was the Christ. He is separate from the light. He was simply a witness to testify concerning the light. To believe that John was the light was to confuse the two. John was a witness who was to come first and point to the light that was coming into the world. So from the stories of John in the Synoptic Gospels, we know that John's ministry created a stir. After the final verses from Malachi had been written, there was no word from the Lord for over 300 years. Could this man then, who was baptizing for repentance of sins, this man who was dressed like an Old Testament prophet, this man who seemed to be a fearless preacher of righteousness, could he be the coming one? Could he be the Messiah? But no matter who he was, he was a threat. Here he was, a contender for the role of the Messiah. He came from out of nowhere, and the religious leaders didn't know from where he came. So down they thundered from the capital. They were going down to sort out the truth about this man with all the intensity of a modern-day press conference when they smell a rat. The priests and Levites, that is the temple assistants, arrive on the scene. Their first question, who do you think you are? They asked him. So begins John's testimony, I am not the Christ, the Messiah. John returns fire just as aggressively as they did. Then who are you? Are you Elijah? I am not, he replied. You see, for centuries the Jews had read in the Bible that the great prophet Elijah would return before the great and terrible day of the Lord, written in Malachi 4:5. From 2 Kings chapter 2, we read that Elijah, it seemed, never died. He was taken up to heaven directly. So many believe that he would just return again to herald the last and great day of God. But no, John wasn't Elijah in the sense that he lived a couple of thousand years ago and now has reappeared on earth again. No, I'm not Elijah, says John. Well, are you the prophet we are expecting? Again, no, John says. In Deuteronomy 18:15 to 18, God promises that he will send a prophet like Moses to lead the people. The prophet was expected to arrive in Jesus' day. After all, Israel was in such a mess with the Roman occupation that someone needed to come and sort it out soon. But John was not the prophet. You can hear the desperation in their voices. Then, who are you? We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself? And John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am a voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord. John's identity was confusing for the religious establishment. Israel's scriptures hadn't spoken about a prophet who would come and plunge people into water. Who was he? What was he doing? John's answer is that he is getting people ready for someone else. He's not the Messiah. He's the voice spoken about in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Long ago, Isaiah had prophetically heard a voice heralding the end of Israel's captivity in Babylon. John claims to be the voice proclaiming an even greater salvation. And that voice calls people to a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John is getting the road straightened out. It's not an external road, but an internal road that has as its beginning and its end the human spirit. He baptized us because he was sent by God to do so, and it is part of making the way straight for the coming of the Messiah. The king, who would not turn out to be a king of economics, politics, and fiscal matters, but a king of hearts. His kingdom would not be an external one, but an internal one. And he will come and change the darkness of humanity at its very roots, at the human heart. The Messiah has arrived, John tells them, but as yet they do not know him. How puzzling this must have been for his inquisitors. He's so great that John the servant who comes before his master to prepare the way like all good servants should is not even worthy to bow down and untie the thong of his sandal. And so in his answer to the religious inquisitors, John makes it clear as to his identity. He clarifies who he is not. He is not the Messiah. He is not Elijah or the prophet. He clarifies who he is, the voice of one in the wilderness. He owns the limitations of his actions. He is there to baptize with water, for there is another more eminently worthy coming. And in order to witness, John has to know who he is not who he is and what he does. In other words, what he is there for. And here in John's Gospel, we see that John is a witness to the light. So what can we learn from John about witnessing to the light? Well, firstly, this season of the church year is called Advent. And the word Advent means coming. In this Advent season, we remember the first coming of Jesus as a baby in the manger, born for us at Christmas time. And as such, John was a witness to his coming for the first time in human history. And in this time in human history, we are still living in the Advent season, in that we are waiting for the second coming of the Lord, when he will come to return, as we say in the Apostles' Creed, to judge the living and the dead. This same baby born in a manger, who grew up to reveal himself as the Messiah, the one who would be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, is returning. And as people who are called by his name, the name of Christian, we are waiting for him to return. And as we wait, we are called to do as John was called to do, to testify concerning the light, that through our testimony, people may believe. Now, I don't know about you, but do you ever get a sense that the darkness is creeping into the world further and further? There's a growing divide between the right and the left in politics and in society. The rich seem to be getting richer, the poor getting poorer, and the middle class yelling all the louder. Those in authority are treated with less and less respect. Marriages and families are dividing under great pressure. Communities no longer live in harmony where once upon a time people knew their neighbours. COVID has affected the level of health throughout the world's general population. Israel's war on Gaza has redefined the meaning of revenge. And Ukraine may eventually lose the war against Russia as the Western world struggles to support it. And then we have the climate catastrophes of the ongoing floods, fires, cyclones, and so I could go on and on. In the midst of the advancing darkness, we need to know, like John, whose we are, and what we are here for. And in this time when there are so many people looking in all the wrong places to answer the questions of life, as Christians, we need to be there as witnesses to tell about the light, so that by believing they may have light and life in his name. Now, witnessing to the light is not always easy or comfortable. It costs this witness, John, his life as he spoke fearlessly of God's will and ways. It's cost many, many other witnesses to the light their lives throughout the ages of church history. If you witness to the light, you're liable to be misunderstood, as John was. You are liable to find yourself under severe scrutiny, as John was. You are liable to find yourself on the edge of society, as John was. But like John, knowing who we are, whose we are, and what we have been called to do, will give us courage, strength, and character to fulfill the task that God has bestowed on us in these end times, to be witnesses of the light, in other words, to live and share the Jesus life with the world. My friends, Advent is no brief liturgical observance. It certainly doesn't end at Christmas. In fact, it begins the church year and stands at the background of the whole church year. Yes, we do live in the post-Pentecost season of the church, but that's only if we look back. If we look forward, we will discover that we're actually living in Advent. Advent can never be passive or just hanging around, never just be anticipating or expecting even a huge Christmas dinner, presents, and a family get-together. No, Advent's call, Advent's vocation, Advent's embodiment is witness. Advent is a way of life, and it is how we look at the lives of John and others who were expecting the Messiah the first time that empowers and enables us to live effectively as witnesses to the light now who are expecting the second coming of the Christ. Amen. So, Lord, indeed, help us as your people to be aware, of your return and our responsibilities to witness to your return as we wait. Lord, let us not be a sleeping church, but an alive church, living and active and witnessing to your love, your truth, your grace, your mercy. So Lord, bless us as we seek to live and share the Jesus life and live in the fullness of Advent. In your name we pray. Amen.